Chet Huntley is off tonight. I'm David Brinkley, NBC News. Kent State University in Ohio has had campus violence for three nights, causing the National Guard to be called in. And today, the guardsmen opened fire on the students, killing four of them, two young men and two young women. Three were shot in the chest and one in the head. A dozen or more others were wounded, some by gunfire and some by bayonets. The university is closed and all faculty and students have been sent home. The students were protesting the American invasion of Cambodia.
The National Guard was called in over the weekend by Ohio Governor James Rhodes. Today, when 1,500 students started an anti-war rally on the university commons, the guardsmen surrounded them. Then, when some students started throwing rocks, the guard moved in with tear gas. The students were forced up a hill by the tear gas. Some of them started throwing gas canisters back at the guardsmen. Others threw rocks. Then a formation of guardsmen marched up the hill and fired their rifles at the students. Two young men and two young women were killed, and at least a dozen other students were wounded. It took university officials 2 hours to disperse the students. Then the university was closed for the remainder of the week. The guard has sealed off the city. Assistant Adjutant General Frederick Wenger said later the guardsmen did not open fire until after they came under sniper fire themselves. Governor Rhodes has asked FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover to investigate the shootings. Fred DeBrine, NBC News, reporting.
The National Students Association called for a shutdown of all university campuses in all states to protest the Cambodian War. Father Theodore Hesburgh, president of Notre Dame University, spoke to a student rally and said his reaction to the invasion was revulsion, but said he didn't want and would not accept any kind of student strike. President Cordier of Columbia University supported a moratorium against the war, a day of closing down regular classes for discussions. In New Haven, Yale students and others demonstrated over the weekend but managed to keep it reasonably peaceful.
Today, New Haven returned to life. To the surprise of many citizens, their town was still there, and many seem to have changed their opinions of Yale students and demonstrations.
What did you think of the weekend?
Comparatively quiet to what we expected.
Were you surprised by the way it went?
I am. I'm quite surprised. The noise that you've been hearing on all the other campuses, I think everyone expected a lot of trouble.
Why do you think it was different here?
I think it was an organized group.
I was down here on Friday and Saturday as I was working, and I noticed the marshals controlling the crowd. There was a couple times when it looked like it was going to blow up, but they kept it in hand for the police to get out of the way.
We were closed, and the normal transit people would not come downtown.
So you blame that on the demonstrators?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. After all, if they weren't demonstrating, we'd be open Thursday night and Friday and Saturday. That's where we lost all our money.
I thought it went over very well. I thought that what the Black Panthers were trying to accomplish more by the nonviolence. And I think New Haven did well, too, in preventing.
Were you surprised that it was nonviolent?
No, I wasn't.
On the campus, the student strike continued. Cambodia is now a major issue, added to student demands for a fair trial for the Black Panthers. Many students want the strike to end. There is division at Yale. Some say it will never be the same.
When I say it changed the university, I mean that that the university from now on, this one, as long as the people who've been here for the past couple of weeks are here, is going to be more outside of itself and less, you know, closed in within its walls and less self-concerned.
We're not trying to tear down. We're building. This is the beginning of building a new nation. The old nation is going to have to fall in a sense, but it's not being ripped down, because the new nation is going to rise up above it and show itself as the real voice of the people. The voice, if you want to talk in terms of majorities, it's going to be the voice of the majority.
I will say that it is another time that, on a large scale, blacks and whites have gotten together from across the country to express a common desire to improve the conditions in which we live and to rule out our hatred and to view each other as human beings in a total attempt to really change society. Whether this is done in a violent fashion in the future will depend on how America responds to the present cries of the young people in this country.
The Huntley Brinkley Report is produced by NBC News and brought to you in color by computer-crafted color television. Computer designed and engineered for better performance and greater reliability. From RCA.
RCA has harnessed the speed and accuracy of the computer to help bring you this tiny workhorse, the heart of the most dependable, most accurate automatic fine-tuning in RCA color history. In every transistor model, it helps you get a precisely fine-tuned picture, automatically, without fiddling. See Transvista for accurate automatic fine-tuning.
Another example of computer-crafted color from RCA.
American bombers in substantial numbers attacked North Vietnam over the weekend. The Pentagon preferred to call it augmented protective reaction. But whatever it's called, the Pentagon said today there'll be no more of it at this time. Defense Secretary Melvin Laird, after talking to a congressional committee today, gave his explanation of what the bombing attacks were all about.
The raids that had been made were protective reaction raids in response to the attacks which had been made on unarmed reconnaissance pilots in the area near the Laotian and North Vietnamese border. We have no further missions planned. The flights have been terminated. But they would, of course, resume should the North Vietnamese attack any of our aircraft that are flying reconnaissance.
Can you tell us, in the air raids north, Mr. Secretary, were supply dumps hit as well as anti-aircraft positions?
Well, I assume that the logistics supplies in connection with the anti-aircraft installations would be hit, because the logistic bases for the anti-aircraft facilities are located in close proximity to the weapons which have been used against American reconnaissance missions.
Sir, how is the mission in Cambodia going? They don't seem to be able to find that headquarters they were looking for.
Well, the mission in Cambodia, as far as the sanctuaries are concerned, is primarily aimed to destroy the facilities that have been used by the North Vietnamese during a period of the last few years. The headquarters as such, of course, is a moving headquarters. Our mission is to destroy the facilities, and we have already destroyed in a very substantial way over 400 of these bunkered underground facilities.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee asked for a private, informal meeting with the president to give its views on the Cambodian invasion. Most of the committee members are against it. Instead, the president invited 50 members of Congress to an afternoon meeting. Chairman Fulbright said that wasn't what he had in mind, that with a crowd that big, all they'd get was a lot of generals lecturing and pointing to maps and charts. And the committee accused the president of taking over Congress's power to make treaties and declare war. The White House denied it. Premier Kosygin of the Soviet Union called a press conference today to give his views on the invasion of Cambodia.
И как следствие этого заявления, развернувшаяся интервенция Камбоджи по приказу президента Соединенных Штатов Никсона, американские вооруженные силы...
It was Kosygin's first Moscow press conference since he took over as prime minister from Nikita Khrushchev in 1964. to dramatize even further the Soviet government's serious view of what has been happening in Cambodia, the conference was televised live across the Soviet Union and throughout Eastern Europe. Foreign Minister Gromyko was at his side as Premier Kosygin, after his opening statement, answered 22 questions from Russian and foreign correspondents. Most of his fire was reserved for Richard Nixon, he referred to him frequently by name, and for America's intervention in Cambodia, which he called an act of aggression. Kosygin would not say what Russia planned to do now, other than reevaluate her military aid commitments to the North Vietnamese. As for Russia's future dealings with the United States, such as the current strategic arms limitation talks in Vienna, Kosygin didn't call them off, but did say they'd be more difficult from here on in. Blaine Littell, NBC News, reported.
It's me, the Frito Bandito. Today we talk about the mouth. Everybody should have a mouth. It keeps the rest of your face company. And it makes a nice place to put things. The best thing to put in your mouth are Fritos corn chips. They tickle your tongue and go good with everything but purple. So munch a bunch of Fritos corn chips by the bag or by the bowl, but by tomorrow.
Crisp, a special crunch. Thin and light, with a lightly salted, buttery taste that's great with dips and drinks. Now you got the beat.
Doritos!
The new beat in things to eat.
Doritos!
Doritos tortilla chips.
The American and South Vietnamese troops invading Cambodia have found substantial amounts of rice and ammunition and other supplies, but they have not found any important number of communist troops, nor have they found the communist headquarters they hoped to destroy. Also, the monsoon rains have begun early, washing out an airstrip they needed and causing military vehicles to stick in the mud. A military planner in Cambodia said, "Whoever advised the president to start this must be the same people advising him on appointments to the Supreme Court." Tonight, they reported sighting a jungle hideout with a number of buildings. Just what it was, nobody was sure.
The spearhead for the American thrust into Cambodia is the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment. At the tip of the spear is the regiment's 2nd Squadron. Its tanks and armored personnel carriers crashed across the border the first day of the operation and have driven about 4 miles into Cambodian territory. So far, there has been little contact with the enemy himself. When there is, or when there is suspected enemy movement off the side of the trails, the armored vehicles immediately stop and unleash their firepower. At the same time, dozens of airstrikes are made each day against the enemy base camps and other suspected enemy positions. Two young North Vietnamese soldiers were taken prisoner just outside the 2nd Squadron's base camp. A South Vietnamese interpreter quickly let them know they had better talk. The prisoners said they had been staying in a North Vietnamese hospital complex a short distance away. They said several other patients were still there. One of them, who said he has malaria, was ordered to lead American troops to the hospital. The troops started out along a well-worn trail. A well-concealed bunker complex was discovered just off the trail, but there was no sign of other enemy soldiers. This is the way the Cambodian operation will continue during the coming days. American units searching for North Vietnamese troops and installations. But what they will find or how long they will be here, no one can say for sure. Kenley Jones, NBC News, with the 11th Armored Cavalry Regiment inside Cambodia.
Tactical airstrikes were almost continuous around Fire Support Base Panther. Several of the strikes were within a quarter mile of where the 9th Infantry Division's 2nd Battalion, 47th Infantry, had taken its stand, 7 miles inside Cambodia. Their objective is a small town called Mimo, which the Viet Cong reportedly have been using as a command center. So far, contact has been relatively light. The battalion's Alpha Company has seen the most action. One brief skirmish took place in the Mimo rubber plantation. The men moved cautiously among the trees. They had spotted movement and believed an enemy squad was attempting to infiltrate the plantation. The firefight was short. When it was over, they found the body of one dead Viet Cong. If there were others in the vicinity, they managed to escape. Like Vietnam, the war in Cambodia is settling down to one of hide and seek.
Situation.
Come here to stay here.
Red China said the invasion was a, in its phrase, mad provocation, and said they would support their friends with, as they put it, all their forces. Nobody knew what that meant. In any case, when Russia's Kosygin said this morning he would have a press conference, the New York Stock Exchange immediately began dropping. Later, it recovered a part of the loss, and then it went down again for a substantial loss. The Dow Jones Industrials lost more than 19 points, and an average share of common stock lost 94 cents. On the American, an average share lost 34 cents.
Do you need a tonic?
I did. I found out I had iron poor blood, and Geritol brought it back to normal.
I take Geritol, too, because it's got 7 vitamins for nutrition. It's our family tonic.
Do you need a tonic? Try Geritol. Geritol gives you more than twice the iron of ordinary supplements. 7 vitamins for nutrition, too. Geritol iron enters your bloodstream fast, carrying blood-building iron throughout your body. Do you need a tonic? Try Geritol.
Barber College. Final shaving exam. What, an electric razor? Oh, and Williams Electric Shave. I see. Now you'll give a shave that feels barber close. Electric Shave makes whiskers stand up for a closer shave. Lubricate skin for a non-irritating shave that feels barber close. Here's the instructor.
That's barber close. Barber close, Henry? Feels barber close, all right. You did it with that?
Look for the big L. First letter in...
Electric Shave!
The Huntley Brinkley Report continues, brought to you by Silver Thins. Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. Silver Thins are thin and rich.
Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. Silver Thins are thin and rich. Thin so they taste light. Lighter than other 100s. Lighter than most Kings. Rich, well, because rich is better. Cigarettes are like women. The best ones are thin and rich. Silver Thins are thin and rich.
Two American celebrities of somewhat different type are running for 2 offices in 2 primaries tomorrow. John Glenn, the astronaut, for the Senate in Ohio, and George Wallace, the politician, for governor in Alabama. When the Ohio campaign started, the polls showed 95% of the people knew who Glenn was and admired him. 95% of the people never heard of his opponent, Howard Metzenbaum. But he has run a highly skillful campaign, and it's said now the race may be close. In Alabama, it is said George Wallace is not as strong as he was.
We go to Dothan, Alabama,
And then we go to Geneva, Alabama, for...
2 years ago, George Wallace was planning campaign stops in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles. He was running for president then. Now he's running for governor of Alabama. And if he loses, he may have trouble running for president or anything else ever again.
George Wallace is a kind of man. He's
It's been 8 years since Wallace ran for office in Alabama, although he did run his wife's campaign 4 years ago. He's in a hard race this time, hard because of the so-called Nixon Southern strategy. It has had an impact on Alabama whites, and it makes it hard for Wallace to rage against Washington. But he doesn't let on that he is worried about the Southern strategy. In fact, he claims credit for it.
Let me have the same opportunity in the future to speak for you, because this race today is so important. It already has affected those in Washington in relation to our public schools. They're talking about easing up. And we even see the President of the United States making speeches that sounded like they were written in Gadsden, Alabama, or written someplace else in the great state of Alabama. So I'm very appreciative and proud of the position that you as Alabamians have placed us in. I was only your voice, and these news commentators who have been down here throughout the length and breadth of this campaign, they know that if this election is not won by me, that the present administration is going to turn away, because they know the people of Alabama are not going back in the future to the Humphreys or the Kennedys or the McGoverns or the Muskies. So my election of governor is very important.
His main opponent is Governor Albert Brewer. Wallace doesn't talk about him much because Wallace picked Brewer to run as lieutenant governor on the same ticket with his wife 4 years ago. When Mrs. Wallace died, Brewer became governor and apparently decided he would like to continue being governor. Governor Brewer never mentions Wallace in his campaign speeches, but he implies that if Wallace were elected, he would spend more time running for president than running Alabama.
My friends, we've got to have leadership that looks to the future and not to the past. Leadership that's positive and not negative. My friends, leadership that will speak out for something and not against everything. And you know, I want very much to give our state that leadership for the next 4 years. I don't believe you want a governor. Who doesn't want to be governor and to work for you for the next 4 years? And I'm here today, my friends, to tell you I want to be your governor, and I'll work full time for you for the next 4 years.
Brewer is strongest in cities like Birmingham and Montgomery. In fact, nobody really dislikes him anywhere. Black voting will be important. A Negro voters group met last week and endorsed Brewer, not necessarily because he had done so much for blacks, but as one put it, he hasn't stirred up any hate either. Black voter registration is up 20% in the electorate now, so Wallace must run better than ever among whites to offset this. The old Wallace magic was based on an ability to fight the dragons from Washington. But those dragons are hard to find now. Wallace must convince Alabama his victory will keep them hard to find. It is almost as if he felt the people owed him the governorship. This year, Wallace is asking Alabama to stand up for him. Fred Briggs, NBC News, reporting.
Thank y'all for being here with us.
Israeli Defense Minister Dayan offered the Egyptians an unconditional ceasefire if they want it. No response. The Supreme Court held a person does have the right to stop mail order sellers of pornography to take his name off their mailing lists. It held a state has the right to give tax exemptions to churches. And on a day of generally bad news, a dove, looking around Washington for a place to build a nest and lay some eggs, passed up the Pentagon, the White House, Internal Revenue, the Capitol, the Labor Department, and settled on the State Department on a portico over the front entrance. Today, she had set up housekeeping there and seemed to be quite happy.
Oh.
I'm nearly 20 years older than some of these kids in this little theater group. Oh, I have my little aches and pains. Doc says it's arthritis. And I always have Aniston. Aniston's my friend. Relieves my pain so I don't feel so stiff for hours. Where did I hear Aniston tablets have more of the pain medicine doctors prescribe most for arthritis?
Watch TV, you'll learn something.
For arthritis, minor pain, and stiffness, Aniston gives you more freedom of movement without pain.
Here's the fastest relief known for bronchial asthma attacks. Actually can restore free breathing as fast as 15 seconds. Proved by a doctor's time test. It's Primatene Mist. Primatene Mist penetrates into congested lungs, opens clogged breathing tubes, relaxes bronchial spasms, so asthma attack is relieved fast. Free breathing restored, in and out. Get Primatene Mist, fastest relief known for bronchial asthma attacks.
Back in the 30s, people went to the movies a lot because they didn't have to go to work a lot, because they were unemployed. And so MGM and Paramount and 20th Century and Warner's and so on had a lot of money when nobody else did. Now, they scoured the country and scoured the world, buying costumes, antiques, furniture, chandeliers, plus a lot of junk to use in their movies. Now the situation is reversed, and a lot of people have money, but the movie studios don't. And so MGM has begun an auction of a warehouse full of props, from Clark Gable's trench coat to Tarzan's loincloth.
How much do we have for number four? In at $25, $50, bid for it, $50, I'm bid for you all, two at $50, bid any advance, $50, bid.
MGM's new streamlined management is in great pain over the image created by the auction at which some 20,000 old costumes, models, items of furniture, chariots, tanks, are being sold to the highest bidder. They've inadvertently given the impression that MGM itself is being sold piece by piece. What's on sale, of course, are the props, the pieces of that glamorous world that Hollywood created when Hollywood was great and rich. The new MGM will rent its props and costumes as they're needed. Meanwhile, the auctioneer is proving the old glamour stuff still has a market value.
$50? And sold down here. The bidder's number, please.
Good night for NBC News.
It's early morning, and the Hiltons are expecting company. Lots of it. And they'll be here any minute. A Hilton hotel is more than just a place. It's people. Talented people, trained people, interested people. People you see and people you don't see. People who spend their days and nights making sure your days and nights are comfortable and enjoyable.
Whether you're in the town or on the town, come visit the Hilton.
On First Tuesday, meet the most famous and the most successful of a special breed. He is a mercenary. His gun is for hire. And you'll see Macumba, a group of magical cults in Brazil. All this and more on First Tuesday, tomorrow at 9, 8 Central Time.